The Wib Wake Up Show. It is Friday morning. It is Good Friday, April 18th. Easter, about as late as can be, it seems, this year. Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Jason Cairns, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, it is the 18th of April, Good Friday, like I said. And one of the challenges here on this side is, so what, does every song we play, should it be about the cross? Should it be even specifically about the crucifixion? I mean, it's one of the challenges here in the morning. So,
yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, all the stuff that goes on in the background, I'm sure that people don't necessarily think about.
And so in the first three songs, we did have the old rugged cross from Chris Cruzy. But then I felt a little like Jordan Feliz. I started with The King is Alive. I'm like, well, you hang in there till Sunday, but yeah. An important day on the Christian calendar, though, for sure. So,
yeah, for sure, yep.
And leading up to Easter on Sunday, and while we've been sharing from the devotion of Notes from the Upper Room, and we'll do that again, I've had myself thinking some about Matthew, and I think that's, you know, I'm not flipped there exactly, but I was interested in terms of, what do you remember in terms of writing letters to the beloved, your devotional commentary about kind of working through this particular day, because it's focused on quite a bit there.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember kind of what my thoughts were.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a few years back now. And,
yeah.
You know, I think in the moment you just kind of write what's stirring, you know, prayerfully. And but, you know, there's a lot of words in Letters to the Beloved, so I don't remember precisely what was going through my mind.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Yeah. Just kind of turning there and seeing we've done some of like Matthew 25 and 26. But actually, as you get into 27, not as much. And so anyhow. But, yeah, in terms of the darkness that certainly was noteworthy that day, even looking at some of that here in Matthew 27, 45 and 46, as you write it, at noon, darkness eclipsed the sun so that the whole land was dark for 3 hours. I mean, that darkness, just to think of it broader, spiritually, culturally, societally, you can usually have agreement, and yet you have people now in our society. I think I saw protesters downtown yesterday. It's kind of a weekly thing in Eau Claire. You've got some people who say things are dark and getting darker these days, and others say, no, it's fine. So it's kind of, you know, we can agree on physical darkness, but we disagree on some of the other types, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think that's even partly where that darkness lies, is that disagreement about what constitutes darkness. You know, I think some people are looking around and saying, boy, there is a lot of evil happening. Mm-hmm. And others that are looking and saying, nope, that's all, it's mm-hmm. all lies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. If we can't agree on what represents darkness in this world, on if we can't agree on the things Jesus would not like, or that Jesus sees as breaking his own heart, boy, we are off track, I think.
Well, I think a darkness we can agree on as we think about the cross, but then as society plays itself out tomorrow, I heard some coverage on the way in. Tomorrow marks 30 years since the worst act of domestic terrorism in our nation's history. And, of course, I'm speaking of Oklahoma City. 168 people killed there. So 30 years since that horrendous act.
That's hard to believe that that's that long ago.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's close it out then with John. This hasn't been the cheeriest 5 minutes we've had.
No. But then again, Good Friday. If
it
you
is
think
good
it, if
Friday.
You stop there, right?
It, yep. is, it is Good Friday,
yep.
For sure. And so let's look at John 17:17. It's a short verse, and it's the words of Jesus in the latter part of the Upper Room Discourse. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And your devotion, Notes from the Upper Room, how did you handle that?
I wrote, to be sanctified means to be set apart, made holy, or purified. Jesus asked the Father to purify the disciples, making them holy according to his word. As believers, we live most consistent with God's design when we remember what God says about us. We must daily recollect that we are who we are, who we are and who we have been called to be. Here are some truths about us. We are God's beloved children. We are those in whom the Spirit dwells. We are saints and we are sinners. We are broken and we are beloved. We are God's treasured possession. Do you want to grow in holiness? Remember who you are. Jesus did not tell the disciples that they would be sanctified by doing good works or belonging to the right church. We are sanctified according to his word, which comes through Jesus, the living word.
Again, some thoughts on John 17:17 for this Good Friday. Closes out with a prayer.
And it says, Jesus, I claim to value sanctification, but it is so easy for me to get off track. Help me to remember each day that your holiness flows in me by your Spirit, and that my sanctification comes not through my good works, but through believing the gospel. Amen.
All right. Breakfast tomorrow?
I think so.
All right.
Hope to see you there.
Hope to see you there. All right, our buddy Jason Cairns, WWIB.
That's Laura's story, Come Unto Jesus. That's the message, the hope here of Easter, of Good Friday, right? The sacrifice of Christ, the debt that we could not pay, fully satisfied, the wrath of God appeased by what Christ did, standing in our place, taking the weight of our sin full upon his chest, and opening the gate of heaven to us. And when that gate of heaven has been flung wide open by his sacrifice for us, by his sacrificial death on that cross, what's the invitation from the Father? It's come unto Jesus. The invitation always there. He never turns anyone away. That's the hope that we have.
Well, on this Good Friday, looking ahead to Easter and Easter candy preferences across the U.S. we have access to here.
Yes, so interesting data here, and agree or disagree. We'll see what y'all think.
Yeah, the results reveal that Peeps, you know, the marshmallow Easter Peeps, the iconic marshmallow chicks and bunnies, across the U.S., over 1.5 billion Peeps are sold each spring. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
It's an industry.
That's a lot. And they have so many different kinds, because they have the, you know, the chicks and the bunnies.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, they apparently make Peeps plushes now, too. Not to eat. Huh. Not to eat, but apparently because they're so iconic, you can get a plush Peep as well, too. And I even found a Peeps cereal that's kind of like a knockoff of Lucky Charms that hopefully he's not up yet. Teddy's going to be getting that in his Easter basket.
Oh, wow.
I was like, well, that's cool. Anyway, in states like Hawaii, Colorado, and Utah, gummies reign supreme with brands such as Haribo, very good, Trolley, and Lifesavers offering Easter-themed gummies in delightful shapes. Fans of both Peeps and gummies can enjoy a combination with Peeps gummies. All right.
This
An empire.
Yeah. Skittles and M&M's also popular, each winning over two states. Additionally, peanut butter eggs, which we're fans of, and jelly beans topped search trends in two states each.
Idaho and Vermont seem to have some of the most unique preferences, favoring lollipops and chocolate eggs, respectively. Now, I get the chocolate eggs. Lollipops, I wouldn't necessarily have thought as an Easter candy, but sure, each or her own.
I think as I'm looking at Wisconsin here, it looks like we are, they have a color map. Maybe Peeps.
It looks like Peeps.
Peeps
yeah.
is pretty popular here, too. So,
I mean, to me, Reese's peanut butter egg.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
There you go.
We talked about this before. You got me one.
I did.
Right? And that's where it's at for
they
me.
They are
absolutely.
Good. Yeah.
You too?
Enjoy it. Yeah, enjoy them. Yeah.
All right. Well, weigh in if you want. 715-396-1670. Always interactive. If you have a favorite Easter candy, if you agree or disagree with Peeps being number one in the United States, is, I guess, the must-have for the Easter basket. I want to just play a voicemail that we received from the other day when we were going out. I think this is the day when we were in Menominee, actually, and just paying for people behind us in drive-thrus saying, hey, we're just going to let the Lord lead us where we go and pay for the person behind us and try to make a difference in their life.
I just wanted to say thank you, and I'm very thankful for you guys paying for my meal today. It meant a lot, and it made a bad day a good day. Thank you so much. Bye.
Again, we'd have no idea that someone behind us was having a bad day, but the Lord knew. The Lord knew, and I have no idea who that is or even what restaurant it was, but it made a difference in someone's life. And we thank you for, again, investing in the kindness jar and saying kindness matters, because it's our kindness is just echoing his, just echoing God's kindness to us. And we know from scripture that God's kindness leads us to repentance. And that's the call to repent, meaning to turn from our sin and our shame, to turn to Jesus and he never turns anyone away. And that's the call all throughout the year. That's the gospel hope that we want to shout about every day of the year here at WWIB, that there is something higher, something better, something that lasts, something that gives hope for eternity, hope beyond this life. And we hope that in our small way, what we're doing with the kindness jar can show that hope, that love that God has for us. Our Friday morning tradition is to get you caught up on things you might have missed in the past week or so in news, sports, politics, and pop culture, but we do it in a condensed fashion because we respect your time that much. We call it Headlines, and here we go.
A study found that drinking too much coffee can cause hallucinations.
Yeah, like seeing a Starbucks on every corner. Or would a hallucination mean not seeing a Starbucks on every corner? Did you hear about this? Vice President J.D. Vance accidentally broke the Ohio State football national championship trophy.
I sure hope they don't even let him near the nuclear football.
Probably a good idea.
A poll finds that 59% of Americans believe there is intelligent life in outer space.
But very little in Washington, D.C.
No comment.
Well, the Masters golf tournament is now over.
You can tell because people in Augusta, Georgia are once again talking above a whisper.
Indeed.
In China, a couple of singers got in trouble for lip-syncing during a concert, which is illegal there.
Illegal? Wow, I can't believe I found something I kind of like about a communist country.
Yeah.
A ransomware gang called Medusa claims to have stolen sensitive information from NASCAR and demanded $4 million in ransom.
Medusa is threatening to release footage of NASCAR executives not using their blinkers while merging.
Uh-oh.
Finally, a survey found 18% of pet owners mentioned their pets in their wills.
All your dog wants is for you to leave him the good couch.
Wow.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up. Well, Mom's Night Off with Festival Foods. We do this every Friday. Everybody who's entered at WWIB.com, we randomly draw and we call one mom here live on the air and congratulate her and give her a little bit of a break, a night off, two Micon Cinemas movie passes and a $25 gift card from Festival Foods. Maybe take a night off cooking. Maybe take advantage of that great dine-at-home deli that they have at Festival Foods. And Beth from Eau Claire is our latest winner. Congratulations, Beth.
Thank you.
So tell us just a little bit about your life, because just seeing your nomination here, your entry, it's like, wow, she has a lot on her plate.
Yeah, I'm a mom of four in Eau Claire, own two small businesses, and spring is very busy with sports and drama and all the things the kids are doing. Confirmation coming up for one of our kids and things like that, so...
And yeah. I'm sure, too, having just a little bit of a break. I mean, it's like on top of everything else, everybody's like, I'm hungry. What's for dinner? And maybe sometimes that question, what's for dinner, is like, I don't know. Like, so maybe this can help out a little bit. Just grab something from that festival deli.
For sure. The teens are always hungry.
Indeed. Yeah. What do they say? Hollow legs, where it's just like, where do you put it all? But you got to put it somewhere.
For sure.
Well, Beth, congratulations again. I know you've got more than enough to do, so we won't keep you long, but just wanted to say thank you for all you do, seen and unseen, from us and our friends there at Festival Foods, and honor you in the weeks leading up here to Mother's Day.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Beth from Eau Claire, our latest winner in Mom's Night Off with Festival Foods. You can enter too, friends, WWIB.com. We'll have another winner drawn next Friday. There's a book that I love, and I think probably most Good Fridays I read this short passage from it. And it's by Pastor John Piper from the Twin Cities. And it's called The Passion of Jesus Christ and 50 Reasons Christ Suffered and Died. And so I'd like to read this to you as we remember why was Good Friday necessary? Why is it good? And I believe that Pastor Piper explains it so well in this book. You can actually find it for free online, but this is just the first couple pages of it. Christ suffered and died to absorb the wrath of God. He says this, if God were not just, there would be no demand for his son to suffer and die. And if God were not loving, there would be no willingness for his son to suffer and die. But God is both just and loving. Therefore, his love is willing to meet the demands of his justice. God's law demanded in Deuteronomy 6, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. But we have all loved other things more. This is what sin is, dishonoring God by preferring other things over him and acting on those preferences. Therefore, the Bible says in Romans 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Pastor Piper continues, we glorify what we enjoy most, and it isn't God. Therefore, sin is not small because it is not against a small sovereign. The seriousness of an insult rises with the dignity of the one insulted. The creator of the universe is infinitely worthy of respect and admiration and loyalty. Therefore, failure to love him is not trivial. It is treason. It defames God and destroys human happiness. Pastor Piper continues, since God is just, he does not sweep these crimes under the cosmic rug of the universe. He feels a holy wrath against them. They deserve to be punished, and he has made this clear in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18, the soul who sins shall die. There is a holy curse hanging over all sin. Not to punish would be unjust. The demeaning of God would be endorsed. A lie would reign at the core of reality. Therefore, God says in Galatians 3 and Deuteronomy 27, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. But the love of God does not rest with the curse that hangs over all of sinful humanity. He is not content to show wrath, no matter how holy it is. Therefore, God sends his own son to absorb his wrath and bear the curse for all who trust him. As Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And Pastor Piper finishes this way. He says, this is the meaning of the word propitiation in the text quoted above. It refers to the removal of God's wrath by providing a substitute. The substitute is provided by God himself. The substitute, Jesus Christ, does not just cancel the wrath of God. He absorbs it and diverts it from us to himself. God's wrath is just, and it was spent, not withdrawn. He says, let us not trifle with God or trivialize his love. We will never stand in awe of being loved by God until we reckon with the seriousness of our sin and the justice of his wrath against us. But when by grace we waken to our unworthiness, then we may look at the suffering and death of Jesus Christ and say, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and has sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin.
We had another full week on the Web Wake Up Show. It is your audio trail mix, sweet and salty. And here is the best of the week.
Typical person will eat 200 pounds of what during their lifetime?
It's spiders.
Is it
spiders? I know I lost something when you're sleeping with your mouth open.
Okay.
Hi, this is Sherry, and I'm calling from Whitehall.
Hi, Sherry. Hey, Sherry.
Hi. Is it dirt?
Is it dirt? That's like, yeah, believe it or not,
that's
that has been guessed
this
already.
Morning, but...
Do you have a second guess, Sherry?
I'm going to say peanuts.
Going to say, so just kind of throwing it out there.
Throwing
like,
out something
oh, peanuts.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could peanuts, 200 pounds of peanuts for the average person in their lifetime?
You're absolutely right.
Well, we got a compliment yesterday from Keith and Owen. He had sent, he said, while listening to music the other night, heard an old song from Casting Crowns, Love Them Like Jesus, made me think of you in the best 5 minutes of the day.
Awesome. Glad to hear that.
There's a new restaurant in Eau Claire, and my favorite is Raising Cane's.
Ah, okay, sure.
I would say best fast food restaurant for me, I'm going to agree with John and say the Culver's, but I like the double butter burger with cheese and pickles. Culver's has the best pickles.
Hello, my name is Emerson, and this is my mom, Caroline.
Hi.
She's from Rice Lake as well as me. Our favorite restaurant is Culver's because they have yummy food and free scoops.
Hey, Mike from Barron. My favorite is Subway. The only reason is for health. That's it.
So where's your Wordle streak at?
I'm coming up on 300 again.
Wow, that's good.
So, yeah, I mean, I have a long way to go to hit my record, but I'm coming up on 300.
Your record was in the 400s, high 400?
430 was 430. My, yeah.
Record. All right, well, I think you're going to get there.
All right, Marion from Tony, G-R-A blank E. You can guess a letter first. What do you think?
A V.
A V, as in victory. Is there a V? There is. Marion from Tony, what is that word for Wibbertle?
Grave.
It's grave.
Way to go, Marion.
Grave is the word. We don't always do themed contests, but you know what? Considering the victory that Christ had over the grave, over death, and the power of death, thought it'd be fitting.
There we go. The best of the week on WWIB.
The best of the week. Thanks for putting that together every week, Calvo.
It's fun.